Yo, what is up, Ramblin' Raiders listeners? Welcome back to the podcast. Before we get started, I'd like to give a shout out to this episode's sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by our boy Shane Bergeson with Stanfield Properties. If you are in the greater Houston area and need help finding the right home to fit your needs, we've said it once, we've said it 100 times, our boy Shane Bergeson is the best, emphasis on the best realtor Houston has to offer. Shane has made a name for himself as the go-to guy for residential properties and has helped countless residents from Friendswood, Pearland, Shenandoah, Conroe, Galveston, and League City. It's a mouthful, it's hard to get out because he's helped so many residents. And he's helped them find the right homes to suit their living situations. Whether you're looking to upgrade, downsize, relocate, or your forever home, Shane Bergeson will find the perfect match for you. I know Shane personally as we have grown up together and remained close over the years. We're good friends. And I can honestly and truthfully not think of anyone I would rather recommend than Shane when it comes to customer service and having a hard work ethic. He is the man. I know when I decide to find my first home, I will be using Shane as my realtor. Reach out to Shane on his direct line at 832-206-4495, or you can email him at Shane, S-H-A-N-E, at Stanfield, S-T-A-N-F-I-E-L-D, properties.com. Shane at StanfieldProperties.com. We at Ramblin' Raiders are proud to partner with Shane Bergeson. Tell him that the Ramblin' Raiders sent you and receive a 1% discount when buying or selling your next home. Don't miss out on this opportunity to work with an amazing realtor and just an amazing guy in general and get the home of your dreams. And now, boys and girls, ladies and gents, let's get on with the show. Buenos tardes, Ramblin' Raiders listeners. Welcome back to episode 67 of the Ramblin' Raiders podcast. We have a great episode in store for you tonight with, you know, some talk of looking around campus. We have football. The words pain and misery might be used quite a bit, but we're going to put a, you know, this is premium Texas Tech content with a laugh, so we're going to put a jovial spin on it to keep you guys interested and excited for this week's matchup against TCU. I hope y'all had a better Halloween than the Red Raiders did, because that was just embarrassing. There's no other way around it. But, you know, we're Red Raiders through and through. We keep our guns up high through the good and through the bad. As always, even though it hasn't been like this for the last couple episodes, it feels good to have the regular boys in the studio tonight. I have my two co-hosts who are normal correspondents on here and joining me regularly. First and foremost, Nick, can I play Christmas music yet? Thompson, what's up, big dog?
What up, Jackson? You said you have a good episode in store for the listeners tonight. We do, but it's going to be a tough one talking about that loss that we took.
Go ahead.
So let me just crack this beer real quick.
We're going to need a lot of those. It's a good thing we have these Michelob Minis, because yeah, we're going to need a lot of beer cracks on this episode. I was thinking about doing Nick, do weird things really happen at night, though, Thompson. We'll get into that a little bit later in the hot take. I don't know if weird things actually happen in Lubbock. We might want to stop using that one. And then across the table from me, our hot take specialist, who has been, you know, missing a few episodes, but we're glad to have him back for this one, Lane Just Might Griffon.
What is up? All I can say is, I'm going to say this a lot better than Sam Ellinger. I'm back.
Oh. You've been really focusing on the Laney Locke show, huh?
Yeah, it's been a focus. Took a couple hits this weekend with soccer, but
what you mean?
I'll talk about that later this week.
You mean the show of Laney's Locks?
Yeah, the show of Laney's Locks.
And I'll tell you this: I, for once in my miserable life, rode with Lane on his soccer bets. Emphasis on rode heavy, and boy, am I going to have to be frugal in the month of November.
Well, I think you changed the luck. I think that's why we ended up losing those bets, because they were hitting before you were riding with them.
Hey, what'd Coach Gaines say? No curses,
man. Ain't no curses here.
Those were not locks, but hey, it's okay. We're going to bounce back and, you know, get it back this week. One pick that I'll say, you know, briefly, that you're like, we're definitely going to be promoting and logging in ourselves, get ready to plug this biddy, is Just Might. Just the horse to get us there. The horse that got the Griffons to Lexington, Kentucky.
Absolutely.
Lane and I will be flying out with our parents, our cousin Josh, Brittany, who was a part of the Blontourage episode. If you haven't heard that one yet, go back and listen. Brittany Griffon. We have my cousin Abby. We're trying to get our grandfather out there since he's the one who established Griffon Farms and has really been into horse racing.
Can't leave out MD.
Since the beginning. I'm about to get to our boy MD. Played some football at UT. We forgave him for that. And we've we've made amends since. No, I'm just kidding. We love MD and his, you know, that side of the family's diehard Longhorns, as I'm sure we've specified on the pod before. And then also our aunt that we call Tanti, that French slang that we use, since it means, in case you didn't know, Tanti is aunt, Nick.
Oh, I thought it was Spanish.
Very nice.
Lane is not bilingual, as you can see, but no, Tanti is her nickname. We love her to death. And basically the Griffons, you know, the Watsons go to Birmingham. The Griffons go to Lexington.
For the Breeders' Cup.
For the Breeders' Cup Championships. We are so pumped for Just Might. And I think our boy, Nick, Do Weird Things Really Happen in Lubbock at Night, though, is going to make us a pretty sick graphic for it.
Yeah, there'll be a graphic, so you'll know who to bet on come Saturday.
And Nick, he's not typically a gambler, but word on the street and word amongst the books is that Nick Thompson might be throwing down some cash.
And he's been throwing down lately, I think, a little bit more on sports since Laney's Locks has started.
And he enjoyed it.
And he enjoys it.
He is hitting. I just might bet this weekend.
Yeah.
I just might, $100. I mean, he won on my birthday a couple months ago.
And you know Absolutely. What? The Ramblin' Raiders just might give y'all a great recap of the OU game and a solid preview for TCU. So let's get going. Social media highlight. Don't forget, guys, to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Pod, Spotify. I think the main one is Apple Pod. And if you get a chance, it goes a long way. Just, you know, get on there, hit that subscribe button, leave us a quick little review, you know, come up with a little clever nickname, whatever you got to do. It can be anonymous, but let us know how we're doing, and it goes a long way. We really appreciate that. Also, our Facebook page is Ramblin' Raiders Podcast. Our Instagram is at Ramblin' Raiders, and our Twitter is at Ramblin' Raiders. We've been very active on there, and we, you know, try our best to keep the listeners engaged and informed. So, you know, follow us on social media to know what's going on with the Ramblin' Raiders Podcast and be up to date with everything going on with the guys. Also, our website, RamblinRaiders.com. 10% of all of our merch sales goes to charity. Nick, what do we got? Do you know who we're donating to for the month of October, this past month?
I do not.
Okay, well, we will figure that out. Maybe we can even throw a suggestion out to the listeners, see where y'all want the money to go. We need y'all to get behind us. Go ahead and go get some of those Hot Takes with Laney Cake shirts. I just got mine. It was awesome. It was actually a part of my Halloween costume. And even though it was an undershirt.
Oh, but you covered up my face.
I still repped it pretty bad. And I enjoyed doing so. So, you know, go buy some of those, guys. It's getting a little chillier. Go ahead and get you a hoodie. That's one of our best sellers. We have all kinds of apparel on there, shirts, yeah, socks, hats, just the whole nine, okay? Whole nine yards. So go get you some merchandise. 10% of those sales goes to charity. Also, we have our write-ups on there, which we've been trying to post more frequently. And we have our episodes on the website, so you can just download them straight from the website if you don't have Apple Pod or Spotify or any of the other podcasting apps. So we're trying to make it easier on you guys. Check out RamblinRaiders.com. We appreciate it.
Question. How are they going to know to look at the website if they can't hear you say that on Apple Pod or Spotify?
They can talk to their friends.
If they're like,
or they
car,
can follow us on social yeah. media.
If they're in a car listening to it with their friends, they could hear you say that, I guess.
Or you could just post it maybe more on social media or something and let them know.
Hell, yeah. I might write a Breeders' Cup question. Article.
Not bad.
A what?
A Breeders' Cup article.
And how to bet on Just Might.
And how Just Might is just the horse to get us there.
The only way, I guess, to answer Nick's question is they'd have to talk to a friend. So let me put a little more emphasis on this. If you are listening to this episode, tell your friends that, you know, that are impoverished, I guess, living in a third world country somewhere, that they can, if they can find access to a computer and type in RamblinRaiders.com, they can listen to our episodes
on
there.
Once we get the donation.
Well, actually, I have another question. Why do we even put them on our website then?
There's a lot of traffic that comes to the website. That's why.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. And moving on. Okay, let's talk about our look around campus. First and foremost, cannot go without being said that Texas Tech, in all of its glory and wisdom and perpetuity has won its 15th meat judging championship.
Damn right, baby. Cheers to that. Here we
Cheers.
Go.
You know what? I'm not even done my first beer, but here, just because that deserves a.
Well, it's a mini Michelob, so you'll be done in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm about a sipper beer.
Get through those quick, especially once we get onto the Oklahoma recap. We started this pod for one reason only. That was to celebrate the meat judging team and all their success that they've had. I mean,
a wild run.
We wanted to highlight it, and here we are celebrating again the 15th meat judging championship. We are a meat judging school now. Let's not forget we took out A&M in this showcase, which proves why we're the best ag school in the state. I mean, that's undisputed
that,
right now.
That was just put to rest.
Oh, yeah. That debate is no more.
Well, soon be taking over the best vet school in the state as well.
You bet your ass. And on top of that, if they're not already there, put them on scholarship. Put these kids on scholarship.
I mean, Jackson, you said it best.
Take a couple football scholarships away.
I mean, you said it best last time we talked about them. I mean, we're the Alabama of meat judging. I mean, we can't be beat.
Dude, can't stop, won't stop. We have a dynasty, the best coach in the business. I mean, go out and just, you know, if you're looking to buy some high-quality meats, you're going through the Texas Tech meat judging team to get that, to get those rare steaks that are oh so good. Guys, what else do we have, man? That was my one hitter for the look around campus. What's some other news?
Has to be said, has to be emphasized, Matt McClung getting the waiver. Money Matt is going to be playing for the Red Raiders this basketball season. Huge for the squad. Basketball team's going to be loaded. This guy adds to that. Let's freaking go.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited to see him bring the ball up every time, possession.
I'm excited to see him flushing on some people, too.
Here's the question, though. Is Burton playing as well, Jamarius Burton, with Mac McClung? Like, who are we going to kick off the roster?
Well, I don't know. Oh, what's his face moved back down to walk on status.
Oh, that's
man.
Right. That's
oh, what's
right.
his face?
Benson.
No, yeah. He's
Benson.
He's what's that guy from? Princess Bride. What's that guy's name? Iguo Montoya or whatever.
Yeah, so that's very close.
It's a hard name to pronounce.
Yeah,
Ignis or I don't know, something where he's like, I have you killed my father, prepare to die.
Yeah,
that's him, dude. Wait, he looks just like him.
Does he have a mustache?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
a nice
cool.
one.
Cool.
These are the kind of things that we have to keep up with on the Ramblin' Raiders podcast.
I thought he had a full beard. He's got a Grizzly Adams beard.
I think he shaved it to a stash.
Oh, I kind of like that look.
Yeah, it's like a salty like pirate, like salty sailor look.
If only I could grow a stash, right?
He also loves Tombstone from all the stuff he tweets about it, which is my favorite movie like to date, so I got to give him mad props for that. Dude, absolutely. Lane, you're absolutely right. Matt McClung,
yeah.
Huge get. I'm excited to watch him, you know, hopefully improve this year going into it with his shot selection, his ability to score. He's a facilitator, a playmaker.
He's a flusher.
He can flush it. It's nice, you know, every once in a while to see a white boy who can actually jump and dunk the ball. It's rarefied air up there for Matt McClung.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's exciting, dude. This is big. I think our basketball team just took a step in the direction of Elite Eight, Final Four status. And they got picked 5th in the Big 12.
Mad disrespect.
You know they're pinning that
they
up in the locker room.
They got pissed off.
And, I mean, but it's – I wouldn't have it any other way. I wish they would have picked us lower.
I mean, how dare they, though?
Yeah, the audacity is just –
it's just
– mind-blowing.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Mac McClung, our boys' basketball team. Basketball starts in what? I think I saw a tweet earlier, 13 days, 12 days?
I believe it's 13 days, maybe 12 now. I don't know when people are going to be listening to this, but.
Well, by the time you guys listen to this, just know it'll be close to 10 days. You'll know who the president of the United States is. It'll be close to 10 days.
Maybe.
Yeah, actually, who knows, man.
Yeah, there's mail-in ballots.
But that's exciting. Let's throw it over to Nickamundo. For whatever else we have on the look around campus.
Thank you, Jekius. Something that you'll only hear on the Ramblin' Raiders podcast, Man City, the women's Man City squad, retains the FA Cup championship for the second year in a row. Why am I talking about Man City soccer? Lane, did you bet on them?
I bet on the men's FA Cup. I know how sexist of me.
Wow.
You're canceled.
Yeah, dude. Dude, please exit the facility.
But why am I talking about the women's Man City soccer team in the FA Cup? Well, that's because Janine Becky, a Texas Tech Red Raider,
dominated.
She dominated, she scored, And she was a huge impact for this Man City team to, you know, retain their second straight FA Cup title. She scored with the last kick of the game to seal their third triumph and their seventh major trophy since turning professional in 2014. Obviously, there were no fans present, but you know the Rumble Raiders would have been there supporting that Red Raider.
That's awesome.
Janine Becky in England, you know, playing the heart out for the Man City.
What a badass.
Absolutely. And winning the FA Cup, scoring the FA Cup is legendary status. I mean, that's
good Lord,
been
dude.
Going on
she just,
since.
She just boosted herself up forever. To like celeb status amongst Texas Tech athletes.
Yeah, she's savage. Sure.
She's world class. She's world class.
She's a world class athlete, a world class Red Raider, and we are extremely proud, dude. I remember you sent that to me earlier, and being a little bit ignorant and ill-advised in the world and understandings of soccer, European soccer, you know, unlike Lane, I didn't really understand the implications of that, and that is really special.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, FA Cup has been around since, like, the 1800s.
In all my soccer like ignorance. Excuse me, okay? I
apologize.
Excuse
you.
Please excuse me.
No, apologize to the listeners.
No, excuse me, though.
You're excused.
Okay, thank you.
Go follow Janine Becky 4 on Instagram or Twitter. She's pretty cool. She's good Red Raider to follow and to keep up with, you know, in the European ranks.
Congrats, Janine. That is awesome. Boys, do we have anything else? Man, the energy tonight, it feels good to have both you guys back on the podcast. I know we've missed each other here and there the last couple weeks.
We're back.
Jakeem Grant, 88-yard punt return for a touchdown for the Dolphins
sick.
This year.
He also signed an extension.
Dude, just watching.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Watching that video gave me so like all the feels and so much nostalgia because his Jets, man. I mean, we missed that speed so much.
No, he plays for the Dolphins, not the Jets.
Nice.
Got him.
Yeah, so his Jets. I'm not gonna give Nick credit on that run. That was not his best work. He's done better in the past.
That took an Alpha Brain tonight too.
Dude, come on, Nick. I've seen you do better, but hey, don't worry. That Alpha Brain, it has a delayed effect, so it'll start kicking in here in about 10 or 15.
They're like
then
the
we'll
women 714s. They have a delayed fuse.
They have a delayed fuse. Lane didn't even take an Alpha Brain. He just took your average placebo vitamin, and he's over here rocking and rolling. It looks like. No, that's we don't actually, to Nick's point, we don't want Jakeem Grant playing for the Jets because that's where right now
trash.
That's a graveyard for careers and athletes. So let's keep him on the Dolphins where he belongs. But dude,
he's getting good minutes as a receiver.
He has wheels like no other. Oh, yeah. I miss that speed. God, he's bursting out of a cannon.
Yep.
I miss seeing that in a Red Raider jersey, but congrats to Jakeem.
Jakeem, the dream.
At the professional level, the Red Raider alum are doing great. Cliff Kingsbury got a dub. I think it was Thursday Night Football against the Seahawks.
Very big dub against the Seahawks.
Was it Thursday Night Football?
Mm-hmm.
It was October 25th.
No, wait, shit. I mean.
That was Monday Night Football.
I mean, blap.
No, it was Sunday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football.
So I guess that was a week ago now, but he got the dub. Pat Mahomes had a big game this week.
So we're doing good in the NFL, just not as much
in college ranks.
All right, boys, I think that's it, right, for Look Around Campus?
I feel like there's one more thing.
Ooh, what are we missing?
Opening weekend for all the
hunters. TJ Vasher was in the stands, apparently, at the last game.
Yeah, TJ Vasher in the stands.
Yeah, we got a tweet update earlier. We put out that question to Twitter, and we had a student reach out and say that TJ Vasher was sitting in front of her at the game. I don't want to get into the weeds of it because I don't know exactly what's going on, but that's concerning for the Texas Tech football team.
Yeah.
There's also rumors that his personal life has had a lot of turmoil and things going on right now. Again, I cannot confirm that. I don't have 100% guarantee. It's just these are just speculation and rumors. If that is the case, I feel for him. We hope that he can get it going. And at this point, it might be better just to take care of yourself and take care of what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he'll get some looks in the NFL. But if I wish I was that girl because she with Vasher sitting in front of her at the game, there's no way she saw the actual game because he's so tall. he probably blocked her from seeing the game.
So good for her.
Good for her. She didn't have to watch that OU game.
Now that Alpha Brain's kicking in, baby.
There's that
Nick's back, baby. Cheers to the delay feed. All right, we got it, dude. We put it off long enough. We can't avoid the inevitable anymore. We're transitioning now into the main body content of this podcast, our, you know, meat and potatoes here. Let's start with the OU recap. I don't really know what our title is going to be for this episode yet. I originally just put down what the hell happened.
It should be, I think I'm going to be sick.
Lane, did you? I don't know what he. I don't know what vitamin you took earlier, but Lane's on one right now too.
Yeah, I took a lemon 714.
Did you go rob like an old medic compound for that? Like, oh, dude, that's hey, man.
Hurt my ass.
All I can say is,
hurt my ass.
Spray. Hey, spread the wealth, buddy. So, all that to say, what the hell happened? I like Lane's better. That's probably going to be our title now.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Tech gets boat raced by OU on Halloween. And my instant reaction, before I throw it to y'all, is everything Matt Wells. And, okay, don't get me wrong. I didn't expect us to win this game, guys. I don't think any of us did. But the fashion of which we lost, everything Matt Wells salvaged in that win against West Virginia, and I'm not saying it was a ton, but he gave himself some breathing room. We had a little life, a little bit of, you know, mobility and hope for this year. Everything that was slightly salvaged in that West Virginia win was relinquished and then some in this embarrassing loss. I mean, I'll just say it briefly. My initial interaction with this game before I went back and watched it today before this pod. I was at a Halloween party on Saturday night. My buddy who hosted it, give him a shout out, Mark Brazina. He went to U of H, all right, and he's married an Aggie. So there's a lot of people I know there that are Aggies, friends of mine. One other girl, Taylor Norris, I'll give her a shout out, Red Raider, okay? So we get there and it's, you know, three different TVs. They have the Texas Tech game on the little TV, and I'm like, I don't care, I'll watch wherever. I go outside. He has a big projector. It's his badass projector in his backyard on the side wall of his house. And I'm the only one sitting out there. So Mark comes and joins me, right? And he's like, dude, you want to put the Tech game on the projector?
You
like,
okay? Are you sitting alone outside?
Oh, dude, I was just basking in like the, you know, the 7-0, the 7-0 lead that we had. Oh, okay. I mean, I'm sitting there trying to enjoy the game by myself. I got some friends in there, but I don't give a damn about those Aggies. Yeah. I want to watch the Red Raiders play.
Absolutely.
I'm sitting there. Mark comes just by me, being a good friend that he is. He's like, hey, man, you want me to put it on the projector since no one's out here? I'm like, yeah, sure. We put it on. We start watching. Literally, slowly but surely, everyone makes their way outside, sits down, gets settled in. God. And we just proceed to absolutely fall off the face of the earth and crater. And after the first quarter, after the second pick and they scored, I think it was 28-7 or some shit like that. I told him
21-7.
Then maybe it was in the second quarter. It was like a little bit past that because we were at this point, it was just no chance in hell. But it was towards the end of the first half. I mean, no, sorry, first quarter. So, yeah, maybe it was 21-7. I told him to turn it off. I go, dude, put the A&M game on this projector. Like, I don't want to watch this shit. Whoa. This is so embarrassing. And he put it on, the little TV for me over on the side. And, dude, I initially didn't watch after the first quarter. I was so pissed off.
Oh, I stopped watching at halftime.
So, what was y'all's instant reaction? That's my little tale on this
instant reaction is pretty similar. It's just how embarrassing. I mean, to lose like that at home – against an Oklahoma team who's been played tough by teams we've played tough, you know? I mean, they were beat by Kansas State, who we played tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't make – how do you just let that happen at home? Just flat out embarrassing. Just a gut punch to every Red Raider around. I was at a wedding.
Tough sledding.
I'm streaming it on my phone at the wedding reception. And
you said not up in here.
To save myself the embarrassment, I turned it off, and I just didn't want anyone to know about, you know, what was going on in sports. Everyone's like, you know, hey, Lane, how's the Tech game going? You know, I brushed it off and said, you don't want to know. Goes, just embarrassing.
Lane goes, y'all got any pocket shots?
Yeah, I mean, it was an open bar, and we had a good time.
Good for you, man. That sounds like fun. Nick Amundo, back to you, big dog.
Yeah, man. I know when we had Thorne on for our OU preview last week, neither him, obviously, as an OU guy, you or myself predicted Tech to win this game. But I'm pretty I realize how much of a homer I am because I predicted us to lose, but only by 10 points.
Same.
And that was one of the stupidest takes I think I've ever had on this podcast. There was no way we were going to win this game or even get it within 10 points.
No, the problem with that is it's embarrassing because Oklahoma is not that good this year. And I mean, an absolute embarrassing loss. I mean, we should have been able to play him to a 14-point game, in my opinion. You know,
I will say this: that dude that Thorne talked about him, that running back they got back, is the real deal.
Yeah,
and
that guy, Stevenson.
Stevenson. That guy's going to be. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. I think OU is actually we caught him at the worst time because I think they're starting to find a stride. They're down from where they usually have been, but yeah. Dude, I'm right now. I think they can win the Big 12 still.
I agree, but this
defense, I don't see them losing again.
Their defense is pitiful.
Yeah, they're not great.
But they shut us down.
Well, when you have an offensive line like Tech, anything's possible. So
yeah, yeah. But hey,
tough.
Look on the bright side, we tied them in the second half. They only scored 14 points in the second half. We only scored 14 points in the second half.
I think they had their third strings in.
They did. They did. Yes.
Hey,
they,
that's why they call him Nick. Did. Nick, Mr. Brightside Thompson, man.
Oh, I love that song.
Can we play
it? Yeah.
No? Okay, maybe later. Because I could use a little pick-me-up right now after that, and we're about to get into the negatives. So, yeah, instant reaction. As you can tell, all the Ramblin' Raiders, I think, are in agreement right now. Just not a good showing, inconsistent. I mean, 14. This team is better than we are. They're better than us on paper. Even, damn, 20. I'll live with it. But when you just get absolutely housed at home like that, I mean, this will be a loss that fans do not soon forget. And Matt Wells could find that out the hard way. Let's get into
ooh,
it.
Ooh, spooky.
Hey. Negatives. Basically everything. Okay? Where do I begin? I think we haven't specified this yet. We talked about it pre-pod. We're not going to get into the weeds of this because I watched the game. I fast-forwarded through a lot of it. It took me all of about an hour before y'all came in from Houston to record this. Let me start with this. When you have your secondary getting juked out by Drake Stoops, things are going downhill at a rapid rate. That guy has no business shaking and baking our secondary. We're not going to go into details on this. We're not going to get into the yards and stats. They kicked our ass across the board. We want to put it behind us and talk about TCU. Let me just hit the obvious real quick. Penalties were rampant in this game. Okay? We came in, Nick, I think we said earlier, were we the least penalized team in the Big 12?
Exactly.
Throw that out the window because we got a ton of penalties in this game early and often.
11, to be exact. I know you said no stats, but I'm the stat man.
Hey, you're our statistician. That's why we need you here to help us establish a little credibility as far as looking up some of these statistics.
And OU only had two.
Receivers dropping balls. That's uncharacteristic of us. You know, I'll say some of it was Columbia. He threw a couple bad passes. Some of it were our receivers just hit them right in the hands, and you got to catch it. O-line, we've said it once, we've said it 1,000 times, just not very good this year. That's it. Simply put, they're not very good this year.
You know, I hate to call someone out, but I think an announcer last game against West Virginia said that Jack Anderson was one of the best offensive linemen in the Big 12.
I'll tell you this.
Our O-line is trash.
I'll tell you this. Our left side, if I'm a coach right now, I'm seriously having the conversation of, do we start letting some younger guys take reps?
Do we cut Card? Yes.
I wasn't going to say it, but Nick did, and I'm glad. I mean, the savagery's there, and it's true, dude. I'm sorry. 77
cut him.
Is struggling really bad. We hate to be negative Nancy's on here.
First play of the game, he had a false start.
Well, he had – I think he had another hole. No, you're right. He did. Yeah. I mean, we're not – sorry. It's just, you know, cut and dry, dude. You got to be better, and I'm serious. At what point do the O-line coaches start to get together and say, hey, like, let's start letting some younger guys take reps, man?
Absolutely.
Or if they're that bad, then who knows? But O-line struggled. Secondary got absolutely torn to shreds, torched in this game. Mims, I mean, he looked like Moss out there, dude. He looked like D-Hop. I mean, he was just streaking all over the field, our secondary. And I get it. OU is Lincoln Riley. You got to give him some credit. We didn't expect to win this game, but not like that, man.
Our secondary.
Not like that.
In Randy Moss terms, we got mossed.
Okay, so y'all go off. Like I said, I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but it's a combination. Penalties, O-line play, receivers dropping balls, secondary. Hell, Columbia, up and down, up and down. I mean,
can't forget Yost. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, play calling wasn't great.
Yost is, in my opinion, something's got to shake up here.
And he's just, I mean, he's it's all, when you bunch it all together, it's just all terrible, man.
Absolutely.
You're right. Yeah.
I don't know what else is there to really say.
It's sad. It's sloppy play and inconsistency in this game. And it's tough to put an exact thumb on the issues because, like Lane said, we beat West Virginia in a competitive game. We played K-State to a one-possession game.
And
good. We should have beat UT. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't
man.
Add up.
No.
How does all that happen? And we take this embarrassing, embarrassing loss.
Yeah. My only negative is, you know, we gave up 213 yards on the ground and 6 touchdowns. I like to think that our rush defense is actually better than they showed in this game. With our front seven, I really like our front seven, but our D-line was non-existent. I felt like Eli Howard was getting held the whole game, but he had no tackles. D-line, again, non-existent. You can't give up six touchdowns in a game on the ground. So that's all I got.
Well,
it was a blowout.
The good news is that there are always positives. The bad news about these positives is that I got one thing to say. Eazy-E played hard. Eric Ezukama had a good game. Townsend played hard. And that's about it.
And you always got – there's always next week.
There's always next week.
And you always got to improve.
I'll say this about Columbia. I won't say he played terrible because he did make some throws. I thought he got out of the pocket when he could and ran some. I do think that Texas Tech fans are going to have to wake up now to the realization that I saw a little bit of this, not a ton, but, I mean, he's not, to this point, the second coming. All right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was unfair to put that on him.
No, I agree. There was no reason people should have been assuming that.
Thought that we were just going to go undefeated with Columbia at the quarterback.
Lane
now.
Said it a while back. I think him and Bowman are probably pretty close still. I think Bowman throws it better. I think Columbia's a better manager. He's more mobile. He can, you know, some of those short passes. But, dude, guess what? He missed a couple deep balls, and he missed one I can definitely recall. I think another, he missed a few deep balls. He underthrew some, you know, stop and come back routes.
Right.
He missed some throws in this game, simply put. And so moving forward, I still think Columbia's our best option because Bowman, with the way our O-line's been playing, Bowman just can't run. He can't get out of pressure situations, and I mean, to no really fault of his own. Yeah. And so I think Columbia's the guy moving forward, but I think everyone can kind of ease up now. He's, you know, and we're going to get into this in a second. Matt Wells still has time to salvage it, just like – we say it all the time. What's his face? Salvaged Star Wars 9.
Yeah. I predicted to win two games this year.
JJ Abrams salvaged Skywalker Rises. Wells can still salvage the season. Of our last four games, three of them are gettable. Yeah. All right. And Columbia could be the guy, just like he just might.
He just might be the guy to get us there.
The guy to get us there. I'm done with this game. If y'all got anything else.
Yeah, two more positives.
You little joyful guy, you.
He's in the elfish spirit, isn't he?
Travis,
must be almost Christmas time.
Travis Kuntz had a pretty good 75-yard reception for a TD.
That was dope.
I did see that.
That was cool to see. He's a senior, but you know, I wish he was a little bit younger and could, you know, show those kind of flashes. Yeah.
Hey, don't forget he's getting another year.
That is true. And then secondly, big picture, Krishan Merriweather is sitting at third in the league in tackles per game.
He's
averaging 8.5.
Keep it up, big fella.
Yeah, absolutely. He's coming back too, so that's big.
Yep.
I'm about to get another beer. Can we be done with this, please?
Yep, we're done.
All right, I'm going to delete it from my brain. Okay, we're done with Oklahoma. I don't want to hear about it. You know, I don't want to see any tweets from anybody. Like, it's over. All right, we're moving on. Don Williams, let it go. Let it go.
Let it go, Don.
We're moving on to Gary Patterson Hate Week.
Oh, and it has commenced. TCU preview, man. And let me just start by saying this. I know this game's on the road. It's in Fort Worth. But even with the COVID protocols, TCU is expected to have about their normal people in attendance.
Yeah, they don't get a whole lot of fans.
Which is about 15,000.
Yeah, wow, what a sad little stadium.
I mean, but that's kind of cool for TCU that even in a year with so much, you know, kind of tough situation, sadness and despair, like they still get to have their normal attendance at a football game despite being limited to 1/4 capacity.
Good for you, Gary Patterson, little guy.
So don't expect the crowd to be any bigger.
Be the little man.
Don't expect the crowd to be any bigger than it ever is. You know, they always have a hard time packing out their stadium. Ha ha. TCU fans, shame on you.
I like playing in Carter Stadium.
Well, I like it because we usually have like a pretty good, I mean, Texas Tech has third of the stadium.
It's almost like playing a home game.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
I would know. Like we've played there many times, you know?
Yeah, and we've
like,
been.
Like we've been many times and played who can talk the most shit in the stands. And we've lost once and won a couple times ourselves, all right?
Yeah, actually, speaking of that, I got a story for you guys. I might have said this last year when we played TCU, but my first year at Tech, remember when Jackson and I, and I think Zach and a girl who may not be named, who must not be named, went to TCU Tech in Fort Worth. Sasha?
Yeah.
Gray. Yeah.
It's Sasha Gray.
We'll call her Sasha Gray. And don't Google that.
Yeah.
And my buddy who... you know, I've grown up with in Sugarland. He was at TCU at the time. And me and all of his pledge brothers, all of his fraternity brothers went to the game. And I guess I had split off with you, Jackson. I guess you were still tailgating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you went in.
Somehow you got me a ticket to the game, and I'm wearing bright red in this stadium, in the student section.
In a sea of purple.
Purple preppies. And this one kid, this TCU kid, bucked up to me in the student section, and he's like, what are you doing in here, man? This is student section. Get out. And I turn around, and these are my wilder, like,
college days.
Just triumphant, bold Nick.
Yeah, and I turn around, and I like step up like one more bleacher toward him, and I'm like, you better shut the hell up before I come out there and beat your ass.
Yeah.
And all of my friend and all of his fraternity brothers were like, yeah. They were on my side as TCU fans trying to get this TCU fan to shut up.
So you could say
that guy was just friendly confines.
You could say that guy was just not, I mean, he was not only confused, but really butthurt after that.
The preppy purples find out quick, because I got another story involving Nick. It's kind of similar in Fort Worth. The preppy purples find out fast that Tech fans don't F around.
Oh yeah.
Let's just not even preview the game. I'm down. Let's tell some stories.
I mean, this is, you know, we're actually playing Baylor in Dallas, but we go out to some Fort Worth bars. Me and Nick are in town with the whole crew, and we walk in with our Tech stuff on at this Fort Worth bar, and
the first bar we go to.
First bar, and some guy just yells out, F Tech.
classic college bar.
I turn around, and me and Nick make a beeline for him. Like, I mean, it's a split second. We're in his grill. We're saying, what the hell did you just say? You say that again. Like,
you guys are sick, dude.
You'll have to answer
something. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. Like, got a little smile. I was like, yeah, that's right. You bow down.
Hey, all I know is Brent killed a guy that weekend, dude.
But the one thing about the we'll get into the game in a second, Jack.
I'm itching, man. I really want to preview it.
The one thing about me bucking up to the kid in the stadium was – that was the game that we lost in 2014.
Oh, that was
we
ugly
lost 82
game.
To 27 that game. I left at halftime. Thank God, I didn't have to face that kid.
Oh, good Lord,
man. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. But lately, of late, we've been doing pretty well.
I will say,
we've been beating TCU. I think lately, last year, we took a 2-point loss.
Yeah, our decorum amongst the Ramblin' Raiders has improved tremendously. And now, as Lane Hot Takes gets up to get us a couple more Michelobes. Some mini lobes. Let's talk about it, dude. TCU opens up as a touchdown favorite. You know, how is Matt Wells and his team going to respond? Can Matt Wells and the guys bounce back after an embarrassing loss to Oklahoma?
We'll be bouncing back,
you know, going to the fridge every couple minutes during that game. Actually, Lane and I will be at the racetrack. So
yeah, we'll be at the Breeders.
We're probably going to be sipping something a little nicer than Michelob. Max Duggan, dude, starting with their strengths, personnel. I wouldn't say their offense is the strength of this team. It you know, usually isn't with a Gary Patterson coach team.
Gary Patterson.
Max Duggan is a pretty solid quarterback, dude. I'm not going to lie. He's improved greatly from his freshman year to this year, just being more of a leader on the field and a general out there directing his troops. He's shown the ability to lead from behind in close games. I mean, they beat what we're now seeing, I guess, is a UT team that's going to be competitive in this conference on the road in Austin. He can run it about as good as any other quarterback in this league. He can hurt you with his feet. We're going to have to spy him, keep him contained. They like to run the ball more than they pass it. They've had some offensive coordinator woes a little bit. I mean, they struggled against Oklahoma. Hell, against Kansas State, they only scored 14 points. Against they haven't scored more than 34 points in a game this year. That was this year they played Iowa State pretty close. That's interesting. But all that to be said, defense, that's what I want to talk about here, man. Their best position group is their linebackers. That's going to be a tough matchup for the Red Raiders to try to be able to, you know, get some running advantages going and get past the mid-level of their D. Their secondary is not the best part of this defense, but they're experienced. They've been around for a while. You know, Gary Patterson likes to keep those guys in the program and watch them improve under his coaching style throughout their tenure at TCU. And he's got a lot of experience in that secondary. Their D line is decent, probably the least talented portion of this defense. They're not bad. Number 11, the freshman, I don't know his name. Whoever number 11 is, he plays like that right end.
So he's on card side.
Right end. Yeah, he's on our weak side.
That could be scary.
Just going right after him. Yeah, he's on our weak side. So
the blind side.
Number 11 could cause some fits. This defense is a tough out for anybody, man. That's kind of their personnel. You know, I had it pulled up earlier.
They win games more with their defense.
They have a couple good receivers. Their main – where did I have that? Here it is. Main running back is Barlow. He's got 228 rushing yards on the season, which really isn't a ton. And then
no, not really.
Barber is their best receiver, T. Barber. And you know these guys. I mean, they like Lane said, their strength is their D. So let's talk about important matchups, man. I'll let y'all start. What do you think is really the important matchup to watch in this game?
I'm probably going to go with, you know, you kind of preface how their D-line is not their strongest suit of their defense. I think the offensive line and defensive line matchup, you know, our offensive line against their D-line, if we can kind of maybe, I think our O-line has been terrible, but if they can somehow win that matchup, I think I've said this before in games.
Could be imperative in us getting a win.
We could be imperative for us getting the win. You know, Columbia's going to have to, you know, have a little Columbia magic. He's going to have to run the ball well.
Be consistent on it. I mean, he's got to be able to hit some deep passes.
And he's got to be able to hit some throws or beat him with his legs.
Yeah, that's true, man. Good point. What do you got, Nick?
Yeah, I think if we can take away, you know, the run game for TCU, and I like to focus on the defensive side. I think offensively we'll do all right in this game. I think we'll bounce back, and I think that Thompson will have a pretty decent game. If he gets the reps. Yeah. I think he only had a few carries this last game.
He kind of re-aggravated his injury. I hope he's good to go.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of faith in our running back room, and I feel like somebody steps up every single game. Like Townsend was last game.
Right. I'll say I'd love to see him get the ball more.
I think that's a positive or a highlight from this season has been our running backs have been
so
pretty solid.
I'm not too worried about our offense in this game, to be honest. If we can stop Barlow and Evans as their number two back, Zach Evans – they like to run the ball, and Max Duggan also likes to run the ball. So we can limit the run game. Like I said, in the negatives for the OU game, we gave up 6 TDs on the ground and over 200 yards. If we can limit that, you know, our secondary is going to be our secondary. They're going to give up passing yards. But Max Duggan isn't a premier quarterback in my eyes, but he can beat us with his legs. He can beat us with his legs. So stop that. Give us a good chance.
See, yeah, I'm actually – of a little bit of different mindset on this. I'm worried because it's an interesting matchup because I think their defense could give Tech's offense some problems. It just depends on execution, really. I mean, if Yost is calling, you know, not calling his best game, if our O-line gives it up, the thing that worries me the most is I think our running game has been something that we've tried to lean on and has found some success. I mean, it got to the point when we really – we're struggling to run the ball against OU where we just started throwing. It seemed like we threw a little slant to Ezukama. We tried to every time, and they just started picking up on it. So I'll get to this in a second on my keys to victory, but I am a little worried about our offense. I think for us to win this game, our run game, we have to establish a run game. And their linebackers are good. It's going to be a challenge, but if our O-line can get push and we can kind of do some work and get past their mid-level of their defense, that's going to be – you know, a big factor in being able to help us get this win. Also, vice versa, our linebackers versus their run game. They like to run the ball more than they pass it. Nick just prefaced it and said that Max Duggan can scramble and hurt you with his legs.
Columbia can do the same.
If our linebackers can step up, spy him. If they don't, and they run the ball over us, I mean, we need our linebackers to – I think this is going to be a good game. I really do. I think it's going to be close. Like I said, Vegas has it at a touchdown.
Could be an in-the-trenches game.
It could be in the trenches. It could be a nail-biter. I think our linebackers are going to have to step up, and it's just one of those where it's our offense. I don't know, man. I mean, their offense isn't great, but it's okay. Our defense isn't great, but it's okay. It's just going to be who doesn't beat themselves and plays hardness.
You know, we say the running backs have been a highlight. They've been good, but, you know, the problem is that they get hit in the backfield a lot. They have to dodge tackles in the backfield.
So let's go to our keys to victory here. I'll run through these three pretty quickly. Got to find a way to run the ball successfully. Establish a tempo on offense with the run. Don't, you know, have it so we're throwing slants to Easy and Carter almost every play and it becomes predictable and they jump on it. You know, I think that's what you saw OU start to figure that out early in that game. And that's where we saw some issues. We have to be able to run the ball, establish tempo. Can't beat ourselves. This is going to be a close game. With TCU, it usually is. if you're committing penalties, if you're committing turnovers like we did against OU, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot, not have a shot. Last but not least, going in line with it being a close game, have to execute down the stretch. We need to make big plays late in this game, just like we did against West Virginia on the scoop and score from McPherson. Can we dig deep and can we find that fighting spirit, Red Raider fight, never die, pull a win out by gutting it out in the end and executing down the stretch? That's how we're going to get it done if we're able to win this game. Gettable game.
For me, a big key, I think, is Matt Wells and David Yost are going to have to swing their sword. I think this is going to be a game where you're right, you have to execute and can't beat yourself. But yeah, if we pick up some big, you know, a trick play, a big, you know, fake or something here,
and you got
that turns the tide and you take the momentum of the game, that's it, you know, right there. It's going to be close and you get momentum on your side.
Yep.
Execute.
Nick, what do you got, dude?
I'd like to take this time to really lobby for something that's been on my mind for about a week now.
Fire Yost?
Oh, good God.
And it starts with firing Yost, right? You are, Lane. And, you know, watching him over the course of a season and a half, it has not been impressive, guys. Listeners, you know, you don't like David Yost.
Hell, I'll cheers to that.
We don't like David Yost. Fire his ass and immediately hire the HBU offensive coordinator, Zach Kittley, on the spot. There's a few reasons why we need to hire him on the spot. One,
big dick swinger.
They almost beat us. They almost beat us week one, 34-36. We came out with the victory, but they almost beat us. Two, he coached under Cliff Kingsbury, coached a little bit with Pat Mahomes and Davis Webb. You know, he has that experience under Cliff. He runs an air raid type offense. Unlike David Yost, his screenplays actually work. Okay.
He knows when to run them and how to run them properly.
Ooh,
he's
burn.
A quarterback whisperer. What was his name? Zappy? He's really good.
Oh, Zappy.
Good.
Yeah, Zappy's from, savage.
He's going to get looks.
Oh, God. I miss that guy. I remember Zappy.
And here's the biggest thing, Red Raider fans. And we love homegrown talent at our coaching
Texas.
Positions. Zach Kittley is a native of Lubbock, Texas.
He My God.
Earned his bachelor's degree from Tech, earned a master's degree from Tech. And he's the son of the current track coach, Wes Kittley, who's been there for 20 years as a track program head coach.
You're hired.
Why do we not hire this guy? He's a young coach. Fire David Yost. If Matt Wells has any spine at all, he fires David Yost at the end of the season. If not, after this next game, and hires Zach Kittley. He's the man for the job.
Let me break this down in business terms.
Can I do a dunkaroo to that?
Okay, yeah, that too. But also, let me break this down in business terms for you guys.
Oh, God.
Matt Wells, head of the company right now, right? When a section of your company who's being run by someone –
That branch is failing.
That branch is awful and failing. What do? You fire the guy.
Fire him.
And then you hire someone else to run that side of the branch. And then your business gets better.
Let's do it. All right, guys. We're running way long. Let's get into predictions here.
Zach Kittley. Zkittley at hbu.edu. Send him an email. Come check.
There you go. Shameless plug. Let's get his ass here. Predictions. You know, I'm going to go away from predicting against Tech because clearly it actually doesn't work very well. We just got to ask it by OU. TCU, this series has been back and forth. The road team, the team on the road has won it, I think, the last five or six times. Matt Wells, in his most desperate hour, finds a way to get Columbia to play out of his mind. He hits some deep passes. They surprise him early. They build a lead, and they hang on late by not shooting themselves in the foot. They make so many big plays that they take Yost out of the equation. And we get a pick and we get a pick six so that, like, we score some defensive touchdowns. We get a lead. They come roaring back, but we sustain it in the end. Hell, give me Texas Tech 30, TCU 27. Down goes Coach Gary Patterson.
Good, Jackson. I like that prediction. I'm also – you know what? I'm just going to ride with the Raiders just because we're homers on this pod.
Ride with me.
I'm taking Texas Tech in overtime.
Oh, I like it.
37-31. Close game. I think it's going to be a swing your sword game. I think it's going to be very similar to when Tommy Tuberville played at TCU. I think this is going to be a very similar game.
Three overtimes.
To that one. I think this one's going to go to OT. I think it's going to be 37-31 Texas Tech.
I'm going to go with the opposite of you guys, man. I think we're going to lose this game.
Oh, will you shut up, man?
You know, I want us to win as bad. T- TCU hasn't won a home game all season, but, you know, I just don't have faith in us right now. I think Matt Wells is on the decline. The West Virginia game might have been a fluke. I don't
Nick,
know. But
not a bad prediction, buddy.
I think we're going to lose again, unfortunately, guys. We're going to lose listenership. It's just how it's
you're,
just how
you're dead to me, bro.
How the cookie crumbles.
It's how the cookie crumbles.
I think we're going to lose, you know, 35 to 24 or something like that.
Okay.
Who wins, Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
I got Trump.
I got Joe Jorgensen.
I got
in the biggest shock of like
no, I got Kanye kidding. West big.
They say Yeezy's like making a late second push, man, amongst people who haven't voted yet. Okay, good recap. We want all the smoke with TCU. Your capacity during regular season is the same as it is during COVID, about 15,000. Get at me, TCU fans. You know where to find us at Ramblin' Raiders on Twitter.
Would you say 15,000? I'm probably 10,000 more Tech fans.
Oh yeah, at least. Just know that, like, you know, we're at Ramblin' Raiders. We want that smoke. Come get us. And now we are ready to move on into our hot takes with Laney Cakes.
Sometimes I have too many beers, which I gladly do, and which I fully embrace. Automatic still is. I liked beer. I still like beer. Automatic still is. But I did not drink beer to the point of blacking out. When I was in town, I spent much of my time working out, lifting weights, too many beers. Automatic still is. Sometimes I have too many beers, which I gladly do and which I fully embrace. Working out, automatic. Blacking out, automatic. Catholic all-girls schools, automatic. Still is.
You know now, Nick, Lane, get the gat.
Get the gat, get the gat.
Get the gat for this hot take.
Ratata.
Ratata. What is that, Post Malone? Where he's like, man,
it's off Tosh.0, this loser on Ratata.
But it's also a Post Malone song. Ratata.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's like,
no,
he's
this
like,
guy's like in the mirror, like, he's always like, I see your bitch. Ratata. Like,
oh my God. All right, you gratatas. Here we go. Hot take of the evening. We've had this illusion, perception that somehow we are very successful when it comes to night games in Lubbock in November and October. And as the stats will prove, that's actually just simply not true. All right. We've all towed this, you know, this line, this ideology of weird things happen in Lubbock at night. Night games at the Jones are intimidating, you know, gratata, all right? Gratata, as Lane would say. Here's the bottom line, dude. Matt Wells was on record saying freaky things happen in Lubbock on – oh, and Halloween's a big part of this. Everyone's like, Halloween. I think they're forgetting that this is actually just at the bars and stuff, not like –
yeah, that's what I was – my take on this was going to be, yeah,
weird things happen
in Lubbock,
but not at Jones.
On Halloween and, like, you know, at night, but not with the football team.
Clearly not after what we saw. Matt Wells on record saying freaky things happen in Lubbock on Halloween night when we are wearing all black. And all I can say is – the only reason we're wearing all black is because we might as well be going to our own funerals.
The only spooky thing that's ever happened in a night game where we were black in the Jones
is we got our ass kicked.
Is the Crabtree catch.
Yeah, and that
wasn't even on Halloween.
Yeah, on November 1st. But still, I mean, God, 2008, bottom line is in the last 10 years, y'all, we have got to go away from this narrative, dude, that like we own the Jones at night. Until we start proving otherwise, this is simply not true.
Maybe this was true with Mike Leach. I mean,
yeah,
but not in the past 10 years.
And believe me, I get it. We want to grapple on to anything we can to give us hope and resiliency in the face of pure and utter terribleness.
Matt Wells, you're going to go out and say that?
And then lose by 40?
And then just get absolutely embarrassed? Maybe prepare your team.
Hey, man, you know what Linger I said? Gratata, dude.
Gratata, man. And he shot us up.
I mean, dude, the bottom line is like, if you're going to say that, back it up. And we need to abandon this falsehood that somehow, like, we own the night. Clearly we don't. And I said it again, dude. Like, we're wearing all black to our own funerals because we are getting absolutely pummeled on night games. I think someone tweeted out that we're one for seven, right? Yep. We were 1-6. The only team we beat was like back in, 2000? It was against Kansas on Halloween. That's the only game we've won out of the last seven times we've played on Halloween.
Yeah, and I mean, the only good one is the UT. It was November 1st, so I get people were probably dressed up, you know, that Saturday, kind of little Halloween extension.
Let the kids have some fun, dress up in the stands,
but the weird stuff happens at the bars.
And stop, but we got to stop pretending like we're like the shit on Halloween, because we're just not.
Yeah. It's just embarrassing to get beat by that bad on Halloween.
Now, night games in the USA, different story.
Right, you are. Too bad that's not Halloween time, though, you know?
I just wish instead we got Valentine. Right.
Instead, we get freaky on Valentine's Day.
We get freaky on Valentine's Day and St. Patty's Day at night.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's about all we got.
Usually we're
Groundhog Day around there?
Usually we're in the tournament come St. Patty's Day.
That's right. Yeah. That's actually probably one of my favorite times of the
year.
And
we dominated a tournament game with me and Jackson on St. Patty's Day.
In Dallas. How badass is it when we're celebrating St. Patty's and also just doing work on the basketball court in the tourney? And don't rule out Groundhog Day. Is that, what was that, November-ish?
No, Groundhog Day is also in February.
I don't know, dude. Yeah. These episodes are starting to feel like Groundhog Day, the movie, where it just keeps playing over and over again. Loss after loss.
Dude,
after
loss.
That's a fireable offense by Matt Hold Wells on. To say weird things happen with the blackout.
What does he know about Texas Tech? Nothing.
Where's he from? Oklahoma?
Utah.
Oh, my God.
He's from Oklahoma.
He's an Oklahoma sympathizer.
No wonder he blew it on purpose.
No wonder we're getting blown out by Oklahoma every year. The dude's from Oklahoma. I call foul play. I want an investigation done.
Like, how dare he come in and say that when we're 1-6 on Halloween games in our career?
Look, I'm still riding with Wells, all right, to this point. We'll see. TCU might have a big implication on that. I'm riding with Wells. We're here for you, buddy. But look, you got to stop talking about shit you don't know about. I mean, you say Tortelia one more time.
Tortelia?
What? He said something about Tortellas or something.
Yeah, that was last year.
No, it was on his. Line. It was on like his commencement or like whatever when he got hired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the tortillas will be
flying. Yeah, tortillas will be flying. First, strike one, you talk about tortillas. Strike two, you're saying like you know what's going on in Halloween in Lubbock. Clearly not.
I think I'm going to be sick.
I think Matt Wells is always way too happy with his post-game press conferences when it comes to losing.
I think
so
Lane.
This hot take is now turning into roasting Matt Wells.
I think Lane slipped him some of those lemon 47s, dude.
Well, yeah, I must have because he said – spooky things happen in Lubbock. Yeah, after the game.
I wish you would have hit a grata.
The next morning, waking up, seeing who you're with, that's spooky.
That is scary.
Hold on, dude. Can we please get a Matt Wells grata to Don Williams where he goes, how about that, Don grata?
Don. I do like how he like really goes after Don sometimes.
Hey, wait. Can we talk about real, just to end this hot take, the greatest rivalry in Lubbock, Texas right now is Don Williams and Matt
Don
Wells.
Don versus Matt Wells. He goes into every press conference. He goes, all right, Don, you want to get started off?
That's basically Freddy versus Jason. Yeah. Predator versus alien, whatever you want to say. That is a grudge match. That
the epitome of versus good and evil?
The dichotomy of good and evil. We've yet to see the ending to that saga, the final chapter. Don versus Matt.
Yeah.
I say put him in a ring.
It ends with either Matt Wells getting his shit together or getting fired.
I was like, that's how the saga will end.
He either gets fired.
And in hell, we might as well hire fucking Don Williams as our coach.
Hey, dude, at that point, I mean, you might as well have tryouts. You might as well have tryouts for head coach, dude.
Oh, dude, have y'all seen Invincible when they have open tryouts for players?
Hey, did y'all
That's
know?
What it's going to be like in Lubbock for the head coaching position.
Right now, they're saying, like, did y'all know the circus is in town for the coaching carousel in Lubbock? But I would love nothing more than for Matt Wells to have a 10-11 win season and go, hey, Don Williams, how about that, bitch? Gratata.
Gratata. And that's how he wins that. And that's how he wins it.
That's how you beat that.
Yep.
We're done.
Hot takeover.
Hot takeover.
Right. Matt Wells, quit talking about spooky season and things you don't know about.
That one really spiraled out of control just the way we like it. Let's get on to the Matador. Here we go. As we get into this Matador Motivational, we were just off mics a little bit discussing how everyone who is going to be tuning into the election tomorrow is also that quantity and number of people will also probably be tuning into Ramblin' Raiders because that's how good this content and this episode is this week. This leads into our Matador Motivational that we're going to talk about. Wait, let me re-say that. This is going to lead into our what, guys?
Matador Motivational.
We're going to, you know, do this one rather quickly I know we're running a little long tonight, but the thing is you know, you're going to hear this on Wednesday, which will be post-election. We're recording on Election Eve. It's going to be post-election day. And I know we've talked about something like this that's somewhat similar in the past, but we wanted to still, you know, use this Matador because it's applicable to the times. It's voting season. We've talked about, you know, being resourceful, doing your research, taking pride, being educated. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight is that I've started to see a trend with social media, with advertisements, commercials on TV. Everyone just talks about voting. They say, go vote, go vote, go vote. You know, it's your right. You have to vote. You have to vote. Celebrity said, go vote. And they're right. You should go vote. You absolutely should.
Exercise your right as an American.
It's a privilege. It's a right. Absolutely, you should exercise that right. But here's what we don't talk about. And this is what upsets me is these influencers and celebrities is everyone says, go vote. But no one says, hey, do some research.
What to do before voting.
Yeah, here's the thing, guys, is, you know, at the end of the day, and we've talked about this before, your ideology, political ideology, it makes no difference to us, man. I mean, I'll be honest.
It's your prerogative.
I went down when I voted this year. I won't get into specifics, but I voted for some Republicans. I voted for some Democrats. That's typically what I do because I like to go down the list and I look at it on an individual basis. I look at the individual, see what they're bringing to the table, and I vote. And I voted split this year. I did bipartisan, both parties. And really, I think that's how I would hope a lot of people would look at it, is go down the line and really look at the person running in each race. It takes a little extra work. It takes a little bit of research. It takes a little bit of time. But guys, voting, it's a right that you should exercise, but it's also a privilege.
You shouldn't blindly vote.
No, it's a privilege. People in other countries would die for the right to vote for their leaders and their government that we have in this country. Don't undermine that privilege that we have. Don't undermine it by just saying, oh, I saw, and this isn't meant to like be an implication on or this
which
is,
side.
This isn't meant to, you know, target or attack one side. I'm just going to start using random celebrities. But like, you know, it's for someone getting on going, oh, Taylor Swift went and voted and said, you know, this. She's voting for Biden. You know, I got to go do that or help, you know, do whatever for the Republican side. I don't know, Ben Shapiro or whatever, like someone on, you know, oh, I'm going to go vote for Donald Trump. And, you know,
what's that actor's name?
I'm trying
name?
To think. Is there any actors that are Republicans proclaimed?
Yeah. What's the guy in Parent Trap?
Oh, no. He's like, yeah, you're right. He's kind of an independent, but I think he's voted Republican.
I thought he was a Republican.
The dad?
Yeah.
What the hell's his name? He's Sam Houston. Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's use Sam. I don't know if he actually said this, but like Dennis Quaid says, oh, I'm going to go vote for Trump. Make sure you go vote. Okay, that's cool if you like their work as Taylor Swift. She's a great entertainer.
Artist.
She's an amazing artist. I'll jam some, what's the back door window one?
Teardrops on my guitar.
Okay, that one I'm not so sure about.
I think her.
Love song. Hey, you might catch me jamming back in the day, a little T-Swift love song. I'm cool with that. Dennis Quaid, yeah. You like his movies. But got LeBron James, you know, if he tells you, you got to go vote, you know, I'm voting for Biden.
He's
guys,
an athlete.
That's okay. I mean, it's okay for these people to express who they're voting for and their opinion, but you individually should not just vote for someone based off of what other people are doing or like trends or things you see on TikTok or social media. Again, if you go to the polls and, you know, you don't have to tell anyone, obviously, you're voting for. That's part of the luxury is that it's anonymous. It's private. But when you come back, if you were willing to discuss who you voted for, you should be able to say, I voted for Biden because of this. I voted for Trump because of this.
Right.
Or I voted for Cornyn because of this. I voted for Hager because of this. And all the way down to state rep, state senator, your local county
local.
Judge, all the way local. Guys, it's a privilege. Take the time to really get to understand why you want to vote for these people. And look, if your ideologies are different than mine, but you have done your research, you believe in this 100%, you vote for them. That's the process. That's the integrity of the process. I respect that.
That's the beautiful thing about living in America.
You will always respect the results when that's the case, when people are, you know, doing research. But it's nowadays, I worry about people blindly, you know, being told just because someone says go vote, do it, but do some research and
know
why
you're
doing
for,
it.
Why you're doing it.
Yeah, guys. I mean, it's just like anything. Know why you're doing it.
Yeah, form your own opinions. And on the flip side of that, I have a kind of an interesting example of what not to do, even more so than just going out and voting and not having, you know, your own opinion being formed for yourself and doing the research. There's this girl I work with. I know she's not going to listen to this. She was going off about how horrible Donald Trump was and how, you know, Biden is so great, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, yeah, I don't vote.
What?
So you're like influencing people's opinions, but you're not going to exercise it yourself.
But she doesn't
want
to vote herself because she doesn't think her vote matters. You know, that yeah. That was just hard to hear. It makes her opinions, in my eyes, like voided. Like if you're right. Going to have opinions on things.
And not exercise your right.
Who to vote for and who not to vote for, but then you don't exercise that, like you just said, Lane. I mean, what's the point?
Well, let me ask y'all this question. Like when you're going to go buy a car, do you just go show up at the lot and say, let me take a look at some of these deals? A lot of people like to do a little research on that.
Yeah.
Are you going to go buy a grill, just show up and be like, gas or charcoal, let me flip a coin? No, you're going to do some research on that. You know, cars, houses, real estate, anything. You want to prepare, right? Like, I mean, for the podcast, we usually like to take some notes, get some stats down.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't want to go into something without preparing. Laney's locks, man. We prepare for bets. Like, life, guys, preparation is key. And I'm just saying, it's. I hope we don't get to a state where people are going and voting blindly. I mean, vote the way your heart desires. Vote for what you believe in, but by God, do yourself the due diligence
right.
of knowing why you're going to vote that way.
Absolutely. And I think your point was said best when you said...
The car thing?
Maybe, but people in other countries would love to have this right to vote. You know, around the world, not everyone gets this, what we have in America. Everyone gets that.
There are true oppressors.
And when you vote blindly, just because, we use Dennis Quaid as an example, voted this way, or Taylor Swift because, you see some famous person do it.
It's kind of an insult.
It's an insulting other people around the country. I mean, they don't have this luxury that we have in our country.
Yeah, right on, guys. I think that's a good message during this election season. I know, obviously, we just said it's going to be too late, but we just hope that maybe this can be a learning experience for people that listen to this that didn't do extensive research on who they're going to vote for. And maybe next time around, it's a privilege. Let's, treat it as such.
Yeah, election year in America, spooky.
All right, and with that, we are ready to close out this exceptional episode of Ramblin' Raiders Podcast. We hope you all enjoyed the content tonight, especially the hot take. That was just riffing to the best of our ability.
That grata take?
That grata take. Remember to go follow us on social media, Ramblin' Raiders, at Ramblin' Raiders. We're also on Instagram at Ramblin' Raiders, Facebook, Ramblin' Raiders Podcast. Our website is ramblinraiders.com. Tell a friend, as Nick pointed out earlier, they're not going to be able to listen to this if they don't know where to go. Or hopefully we just get a lot more traffic. We'll see what happens. Also, cop you some merch. We're in the season of hoodies and of long sleeves. Go get you some merch, guys. It's awesome.
Hell, maybe we'll have some Black Friday deals.
Maybe we will.
Get ready for those promo codes coming this way. Don't forget our boy Shane Bergeson. If you're looking for a house, hit him up in the Houston area. And let's get ready to have a good week. Lane, Nick, any last departing words for the listeners?
Guns up as always. Go buy a shirt with my face on it.
Yeah, whoever wins the presidential election, just take a deep breath, man. Take a deep breath.
And remember, at least Gary Patterson is not the president of the United States. Nick, Lane, we out.